I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Over the weekend, there were 37 fines issued in the Halifax area. That's outrageous. I want to thank everyone for following protocols, but there are still groups of people who aren't. I have a serious question. What is wrong with you? That's outrageous.
What is wrong with you?
We need to stay in the blaze as long as long.
Stay in the Blazes home.
What
is wrong with you? That's outrageous.
What is wrong with you? What
is wrong with you?
The only answer that I can come up with is that you don't care.
What
is wrong with you? That's outrageous.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Come on. For those of you who couldn't see it, and you want to see it, you can go to YouTube right now and watch this episode on YouTube, where you can see, not only just hear, but see our premier, Premier Rankin, rapping his sweet little heart out. That's outrageous. And that was put together by our friend Richard McNeil, a.k.a. Meme Lord Rick 69420. He told me not to call him that. But I just did.
I think I still might owe him a bottle of scotch.
Yeah. Well, perhaps Richard is
a decade ago.
Richard's old friend, and was a part of the now disbanded Dub Cartel, Halifax, famous Halifax reggae band. And a good friend of ours. So Rich, good job on that. That's a fucking, it slaps.
That's
bang. Outrageous.
That was great. Yeah.
What's wrong with
you? It is great
you?
To hear, our premier just dab all over these turkeys.
And dabbing on these muffs.
And he was just fucking dabbing on those muffs. And I didn't watch the press conference, but Kyla was telling me about it. And that some of the media asked, like, if he was too harsh.
You know what, man?
I was like, what kind of a question is that?
Yeah, that's kind of dumb. I mean, look, not to harp on our fucking premier, God, Ian Rankin, like, just dead behind the eyes, eh? Like, no emotion at all. It was nice to see him rap and have some emotion there. But the thing, I like him. I gotta say this. I like him.
He needs to really work on his speaking skills.
He just needs Lord Rick 69420 to give him some fucking pointers.
I'm glad that he got elected, though, not for his ability to read to present orally, but because he's a good man for the job, I think.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, I do.
He's a good oral,
you know,
man.
Stephen McNeil, our previous premier, he was harsh, dude. He was like everyone's fucking harsh dad coming down everyone. Now we got Uncle Rankin coming down us now, you know. So thanks for that, Richard.
I mean, what is really harsh though? Like you know, stay the Blazes home and what is wrong with you? Like, those are the two harshest things that people feel like politicians can say. Like, oof. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Stay the Blazes home is just more folksy. So I feel like it might not have seemed as harsh when it was in fact harsh, you know?
It would have been really funny if Ian came out and was like, what the fuck's wrong with y'all? You know, like, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a bummer day. They announced there were two deaths here in Nova Scotia. And again, like, you know, I know that there's far more greater numbers of deaths happening all around the world, but it's all in, you know, amount of perspective. And it was kind of hard hitting here in this small community. So, our condolences go out to the families that have been affected by that. But I don't want to dwell on that. It is Feel Good Friday. I want to pump you folks, and especially you three, full of feel goods. And I got some feel goods coming at you. This first thing that is coming out of the New York Times by Natalie Kitorf. I got it in there somewhere. She put together this article that was titled Lucha Libre, Yoga, Dancing, Welcome to Mexico City's Vaccination Sites. This is so much fun. This is an entire article that also came along with some very beautiful photos about vaccination sites in Mexico City that are attempting to make the space of the vaccination sites more appealing, uplifting, and friendly for the seniors of Mexico City, because there's been, you know, we've talked about vaccine hesitancy and people being scared about the vaccines. There's been a lot of the older folks in Mexico apparently have been very afraid to show up to get their vaccines for, you know, a whole myriad of reasons. One of those reasons being the fact that, you know, they're afraid that they're going to, I think I read in the article that they were fearing getting vaccines that were just full of air. Can you imagine how scary that would be? Like your grandfather, or your grandmother's being afraid of getting air pumped into them. So
I wonder where that originates from.
I know. Yeah. Right. I have no idea where that's coming from. I mean, I know that.
Isn't there like fear that, if you're getting a needle, and look, guys, I'm just maybe making this up a little bit, but
I can already tell
isn't
where
there
it's going.
Fear that, like, if you're getting an injection and there's like an air pocket or air bubble in an injection that you're getting, that it can be really dangerous? Like, it can cause, I don't know, guys, work with me here a little bit. Have you ever heard this thing where if there's like an air bubble
I think
that's more rare than the blood clot from a J&J vaccine.
I think the term you're looking for, Brian, and Louise, don't even worry about it. I got this one. You are thinking of the bends, which is getting air bubbles in your bloodstream. Guaranteed, that's exactly what it is, and it's a big problem for divers and a big problem for people who are getting vaccines. So it is. I totally get why these seniors are scared to death, which is why I'm so glad that the city of Mexico has decided to include dancing, yoga, live performances, and the chance to watch large bare-chested lucha libre wrestlers do the limbo at these vaccination sites. The photos, guys, are fucking amazing. But the article goes on to say, the goal is to make the process as appealing as possible, said a woman leading a singing and dancing performance for people waiting for a shot at a military parade ground in Mexico City on a recent Wednesday. Quote, we quickly realized that with the strategy we had in place, we couldn't attend to seniors with the level of service they deserved, said Eduardo Clark, who helps coordinate the city's vaccination program. At first, the capital was vaccinating people in dozens of schools and clinics around the city. Without senior officials in charge of those sites, the scenes often became quite chaotic. The elderly were waiting for 5 hours to get shots in the hot sun on the sides of busy streets, Mr. Clark said. So the government consolidated all vaccinations into several big sites, and soon the people running them started competing to see who could make the experience more memorable. You want to see some of the photos from this?
Absolutely.
It's so fucking good. Senorita. So we've got you know, you can see people in the background playing guitar. We've got wrestlers doing the limbo.
Dude, I love how the wrestlers are wearing wrestling masks and PPE masks underneath their masks.
So good.
Yeah.
There's a guy juggling a ball for a bunch of seniors in the background there. He's juggling a ball with his feet. Again, folks, if you want to see these photos, go over to YouTube and check it out if you're just listening. We've got a photo here of just a bunch of seniors moving their bodies with their arms in the air, which is kind of sweet. They got them moving. They got them fucking grooving. This guy is getting reamed out by a wrestler as he gets his shot. And the crazy thing, I read through the article a little further. Unfortunately, what happened after this was the old man got so excited, he jumped out of his wheelchair. The wrestler suplexed him, shattered his hip to bits. And he didn't make it. But got to say, they're doing their best out there. They're doing their best to make them have.
And then DDT'd him to death.
That's right.
Hey, guys, I did a thank God for Google, because I did a quick search to figure out that thing about air bubbles in subcutaneous injections.
Great.
And somebody on Reddit said air bubbles are only really dangerous if injected directly into a blood vessel. For subcutaneous injections like insulin, the small amount of air that could possibly fill the syringe would just be absorbed by the body. I'm a nurse and I frequently give subcutaneous injections, though the concern with air and IV lines is an air or gas embolism. According to Wikipedia, injecting 100 milliliters of air at rates of 100 milliliters per second or greater into the venous system has proven to be fatal. So that's why that's why there may be concern for having air put into the body. But subcutaneous injections, not really much of a concern.
No, we are not concerned about that. And go get your vaccine as soon as you can, regardless of what the vaccine is. Just fucking go do it.
Those are saying about that whole setup there of the vaccine sites is like, as wonderful as it is that they've got these fun things going on, and it's like, it's really fun.
Dude, fuck yeah. Are you kidding me? I would love if they were doing that shit here. That sounds awesome.
It's fantastic. But then at the same time, like, what does it say about just like the human species in general, that it's like, hey, there's this like life-saving thing that like kind of needs to happen in order for like the world to get back to what it's doing. And the scientific and societal consensus is that we need to do this. And it's like, there's a fear around it. And to quell the fear, they're like, well, but what if we get some wrestlers? Like, if we get some wrestlers, like, would that make you less scared of the air?
Yeah. To that point about us is like, these curious little creatures that are just walking around on this tiny rock, and how weird and interesting we are. Just wait until you get to this week's segment of What the Health, because we're gonna get into some weird shit, and I can't wait for it. Mr. Clark, he went on to insist that the city was not trying to make its vaccination campaign go viral. No pun intended. Quote, I would not say it's about publicity, he said. But when Mexican social media started being flooded with videos of older people dancing after getting their shot, quote, it made me really proud, he said. It almost made me cry. Maria Silvia, who had just gotten her second AstraZeneca shot, danced with five colorfully masked Lucha Libre wrestlers named Gravity, Bandido, Guerrero Olimpico, Hijo de Parita Morgan, and Ciclone Ramirez Jr. How did I do, Lauren?
Muy bien.
Thank you very much.
Quote, just because I'm from Texas, I speak Spanish.
By proximity. By proximity. Familiarity by proximity.
Quote, it's a little bit of joy, Miss Sylvia shouted over the live band playing a few feet away, nodding to the beat. Quote, it reanimates what you have inside. How fucking sweet is that, eh? With the pandemic closing wrestling arenas, this is really funny. With the pandemic closing wrestling arenas, and wrestling's huge down there, the government has put the Lucha Libre fighters to creative use, enlisting them to enforce mask wearing by pretending to accost people, and now this. Can you imagine walking down the street without a mask on and a bunch of Lucha Libres running up to you and just giving you shit for not wearing your mask?
It kind of reminds me of something that would be a Tim Robinson sketch.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, guys, I know that we are technically journalists, so we have to ask the hard-hitting questions. And I just feel like it has to be asked. Do you think that there's an increased risk of spreading COVID with those lucha libres running around in packs together?
I mean, have you seen those masks? Those masks are pretty pretty fucking bang on. I should be wearing my Lucha Libre mask. I don't know why I haven't worn it out yet. I have a fucking great one in the closet here. I should have been wearing it since.
Does it cover
one.
Your mouth and nose? It probably doesn't, right? You could wear
no, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Like, but it does cover. It does cover my identity.
Right,
and that's what, yes.
It protects your features.
For those of you tuning in on YouTube, there's obviously a massive delay here with us shooting from home now. So it might be a little awkward, but hey, don't worry. The entire planet is awkward right now. So we're all getting
I'll fix
this.
It in post.
Yeah. Okay, great. But how sweet is that? Like, can you imagine, I know over in Dartmouth, every season, like they have that fair that comes to town and it's like the sketchiest fucking fair yet it's also the best time ever. I would love, like, it would be great if they just set up a little fair to get your shot and then hop on a fucking, cyclone or something, get you queasy.
Guys, I think we're such chimps. We're just like looking for cheap entertainment. Like, dude, scratch my armpits, drag my knuckles, like show me a couple backflips and like let me and poke me in the arm with a vaccine while you're at it. Like that's, I just feel so silly.
That is it. Yeah, it is pretty silly. I do love it.
That's the biggest, the biggest oversight had any, like, of this entire.
Oh, great. Yeah, great, guys. Keep talking over. Keep doing that. This is great content.
The biggest oversight of the entire vaccine rollout was actually that they just didn't include an entertainment component to the logistical rollout.
I was just gonna say, it's been so long since we've had like live entertainment that, like, I don't know, at this point I would let a dozen of those guys punch me in the face. It would be the most exciting thing that's happened to me since last March, you know.
Hell yeah. I agree. Have you ever been suplexed? Has anyone ever been powerbombed or anything like that? It's fucking fun if it's on the right surface. Otherwise,
right.
Otherwise, you're asking for CTE.
Favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Shall we move on?
Let's do it, Daddy.
So this is, I got another fun little article here. So we've talked at length on the show about interesting things we would like to do with ourselves, with our bodies when we die. This article has come in and it's something. So, you know, I don't think it's any surprise that I'm covered in tattoos. People will see it if they ever watch the show. I just recently got my entire back done with this super gnarly UFO scene, my entire back from top to bottom.
Show it.
Yeah, you know what? Insert a photo right here, Bri. There we go. So there you could see that. And then so when this article came by my I think Bri, you put it in Slack earlier today. I thought this was the fucking raddest thing ever.
From Basil.
Yeah, so our friend Basil sent this to us. This is from the BBC. This gentleman, Chris Wenzel, his lifelong love affair with tattooing began when he was just 9 years old, when his aunt asked him to design her a tattoo, one that he ended up partly inking on her skin himself. By the time he was a teenager, both of his arms were completely covered in tattoos. As an adult, he was a respected tattoo artist who owned Electric Underground Tattoos Incorporated, an audio a studio in Saskatoon, Canada. So this guy's whole life is just like all about tattoos, right? He owns a tattoo studio out in Saskatchewan. He is covered in tattoos. Quote, he loved seeing the ink on people's skin, fell in love with it, says his wife, Cheryl, who now runs the tattoo studio with a business partner. Because Chris died in October of, I believe, 2017 of heart failure. So he was struggling for years with ulcerative colitis. And this led to a number of complications. And Chris died when he was 41 years old. But before he died, he had a very interesting request. He wanted to have his tattoos preserved. I've never heard of this before until reading this article. So Miss Wenzel, his wife, says her husband had always been fascinated by preserved bodies and by other similar artifacts that they had come across on museum visits. Then Chris Wenzel discovered a company called Save My Ink Forever, a family-run business based out of Cleveland, Ohio. He told his wife, quote, why would I want to have all these hours of tattoo work put into my body for me to be buried with them? So the company, all right, they have come into this process of, yeah, dude. Okay. So the company, the company owned by Michael and Kyle Sherwood worked with funeral homes. They work with funeral homes in the US, the UK and Canada to preserve the tattoos of people who have died as a memorial for their loved ones. The father and son, who are also both embalmers and funeral directors, launched the company just over 2 years ago. Now, this article came out in 2019, so this was a little while back. The idea came from what Kyle Sherwood described as a semi-serious conversation that he had with his father, had with a friend about preserving tattoos. So the Sherwoods looked at two trends. There are an estimated 45 million Americans inked, and tattoos are growing in popularity. I think we can all attest to that. We see it every day. There's more face tattoos now, you know, than there ever has been before.
They're creeping up.
And meanwhile, there's also this shift towards people wanting to have more unique sort of customized funerals and memorials, right? So they decided to develop a technique that allows for the long-term preservation of excised skin art. Quote, being embalmers, we were at least familiar with the concept of preserving tissue, says Kyle Sherwood. Quote, but with the embalming, that process isn't permanent as much as we'd like it to be. So we started doing some research and blended a few techniques together. It was trial and error. It took them two years to develop their specific technique.
What do you mean trial and error? What are they trying? Who are they trying it on?
Dude, I know. That's what I was thinking. So like they must
let them.
Yeah. I mean,
and how's that allowed?
My guess is, again, this is purely speculation because I couldn't find out what the process was for them to figure this out. But my guess is that since they're both embalmers and funeral home directors, they were having people come in with tattoos. And so maybe they would ask the family, like, can we try
to Jane Doe's or John Doe's?
Could be that too. Yeah. And essentially like trying to preserve these tattoos in the way that they do it. But it took them 2 years to fucking figure it out. Go, Bri.
But imagine that trial and error, which sort of means essentially that they definitely made some errors. So imagine what the errors look like when you're trying to skin a person and preserve their tattoos. This is what nightmares
probably wasn't
are made
the
of.
Skinning part. It probably wasn't the skinning part. It was probably just the preserving where they tried to preserve it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure skinning somebody is
probably not that hard.
If you're in that trade, it's probably pretty straightforward. It's
Taylor, you know about it. I mean, you're a psychopath. Yeah. Like how many where are all the bodies you've skinned?
I watched all 8 seasons of Dexter.
Yeah, you know it's
so, but it's probably in the preservation that they're trying to preserve it, and then they just obviously I don't know if the skin went bad.
What guys? What part of the body do you think would be the worst part to preserve? Like the scariest part to preserve?
Scrotum.
Like scrotum tattoos.
The throat.
I'm imagining a.
I would say the throat.
The throat.
Tattoo.
The face. Like a face tattoo. It's like it's like proper leather face stuff.
That would be the face. If you had a if you had a full face tattoo and you wanted that preserved, that would be intense. Yeah.
That would be crazy.
It would be. It would be wild. Yeah.
Could be like one of those death masks too. Like, you know how they used to cast people's faces in the 1800s when they were super obsessed with death? It could be like the next step up to that. Oh, that's sick. That's what I want. I'm going to book some face tattoos and then call those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. yes. So the process, how it works at the request of the family, the funeral home will surgically remove the tattoo, a simple process, says the Sherwood. So it's pretty easy. And then send it to a lab for preservation before it's mounted and framed behind UV protective glass. The entire process takes about 3 months. Okay. Quote, when my husband passed away, half of me passed away with him. She says, quote, I didn't know what to do. I just knew he wanted this preservation done. I had to set aside my emotion and get this part done. Oh, God love her. Most tattoos the company handles are on a smaller scale. So this is kind of important. I think they were probably, you know, testing this out on, you know, like little, you know, a wrist tattoo or something small, right? That's what they mostly do. But they're doing like these individual pieces that measure a few inches across.
Guys, I gotta say, this is actually fucked. The more I think about it, the more fucked it is. Because, like, look, I have like 6 or 7 tattoos and I like them. But I can't imagine that anybody else really wants them after I die. Like, if you're preserving your tattoos, who are you preserving them for? And are there, like, do these people in their lives, like, actually love their tattoos that much that they want a skin, like, that they want them saved like that? Is that crazy?
I mean, so this is really interesting. In the article, they go on to talk about how there's several different reactions that people have to this idea, right? There's the people who are just like, this is fucked, absolutely no way. There's the people, and they're talking about like people with tattoos, people who like love tattoos. Then there's the group of folks who are like on the fence about it. And then there's the folks that think it's a great idea. In the case of Miss Wenzel and her late husband, getting a little ahead of myself here, but she ended up, I'm going to show, I have the photo of what they preserved on her husband, from her husband.
I hope
it's a serious piece.
I think it looks like
it's a serious piece. So here it is. It is a full back piece. It is part of his throat. It is both of his sleeves on his arms. And the way that they laid it out is basically you can see the back torso. You can see the arms if the arms were completely splayed open. I mean, you know, this guy had some pretty fucking serious, like, he had some serious work done. You know, like, this is,
I mean, the art,
no joke.
The art is cool as fuck. And look, I think that this is super cool. I'm usually not the type of person to knock something if somebody's into it, but like, unless your partner or whoever you're like giving your shit to when you die really loves your tattoos and wants a fucking piece of your skin, your body hanging in their house. Like, think about that. Like, what if that woman goes on and remarries? Like, is she going to like frame that and put that in the living room for her new husband and be like, I love my ex-husband's body that's hanging on the wall? Or does she just roll that up and put it in a trunk and fucking save it for later?
She does. Cause Miss Wenzel has displayed her. She goes to tattoo conventions and displays her, the preserved tattoos at conventions across Canada. So she's displayed them in Saskatoon, Vancouver, Newfoundland. So she
that's
does,
cool, you know, because she's the only one. Like, as if there was like 10,000 people who had that
Briar,
done.
Briar,
like,
are you okay? She's, are you okay, Briar?
Yeah, Briar's
gonna,
pissed.
Like, she's not going to be able, like, she's not really like able to go around to the conventions really anymore aggressive. And be like, look how fucking cool this is.
You know,
like,
what, Briar?
It's
I'm
cool
push
because
back.
It's one person.
No, I'm going to push back on that.
Jared, I don't want your tattoos.
I know. Look, I don't want you to have them clearly because you don't fucking you won't take care of them. This is this. I think you got to look at it this way, Tay or Bri. Like, think about. You know, there are some tattoos out there that are like really beautiful, right? And not I'm not talking about like giant massive pieces. I'm talking about like simple, small, really like really beautiful pieces of artwork that are. That to some people, when they get those, whether it was something they designed themselves or something that they work with the artist, like oftentimes for people, there's a lot of meaning behind tattoos, right? So yes, we'll look at this photo again. This is a extreme example, right? But instead of thinking about this, think about, like, for example, Bri, your tattoo that you have of Lori Brown, quote,
yeah, I was thinking of
right?
that.
That's a very small piece of art, right? If you took that, preserved it, placed it in a small frame,
dude,
I don't think it would be that fucking weird, dude, for
take
for
a
someone
fucking
like,
picture of it.
Man,
take
that,
a picture
but
of
it's
it.
Way more metal if it's the actual skin. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I just want the, I want there like to be a museum. I want there to be a museum where it's just all these dead people's skin with their tattoos and like the stories. I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah. And
listen,
here's the thing.
That's cool.
I don't have there were other images on the article. So I suggest you go Google if you want to look at them, but there were other images of these smaller tattoos. It doesn't look like skin in a fucking framed photo. Like, it doesn't look like skin. Once it's preserved, it looks like it looks like a piece of art that's on like on a sort of like specialized piece of paper. Like, it really doesn't look like, you know, it doesn't look like fucking Leatherface.
You know what I
whipped up some fucking weird art.
It's actually very close to what I thought it would look like looking at the photo. But you know, when you, I, because you were leading us into this with the fact that this guy was like covered head to toe.
Yeah, he
in
was
tattoos.
Covered.
I was hoping that it would be more like his... when you see when you see somebody who hopefully has a like a faux bear skin on the ground, and it's like the
full
to the side with the arms and the legs out, and like the head that's up with the with the mouth open.
just him.
But like his skull and his head is actually still involved, but
oh
it's
my
all
God.
Skin. And then it's just now, his whole tattooed body.
See, that would be cool. I'd be cool with that.
No, see, if that was the case, then I'd be with you, Bri. I'd go, this is a bit extreme. Okay.
But I agree with Lauren in the sense. You go, Lauren, this time.
Oh, I was
it's
just
going
to say, how much more fun, though, would, like, for people who are Catholic, how much more fun would fucking communion have been if Jesus had tattoos and this was a thing? Am I really weird? Oh, yeah. Shut up. I'm sorry.
No, I hear you.
I'm all for it.
I hear you. So do you mean that Catholics are eating the Eucharist, here's the body of Christ.
Body of Christ.
Like every week that you get that, you get like a different tattoo on it. Like there's a different design.
Yeah, exactly. Like they'd be like little acetabs. Yeah. They'll be like different designs all the time.
And then instead of eating them, everybody actually just like put them in their pocket. And then afterwards, everybody put the puzzle of the body of the bread together.
Oh yeah.
And it was like, like
no, you gotta eat them. Oh, but that's a great idea.
A thousand piece
Jesus
puzzle.
But so but the museum thing would be really cool too, in the sense that like imagine you could go back and see like I've been to the museum in Cairo, and you can go and you can see like the sarcophaguses with the old mummified sarcophagi with the mummified people, and like it's really cool if there was a museum where there was like a bunch of like, oh, you can go to like the modern preserved tattoo skin museum where you can just like go and look at the art. That would
be
cool as fuck.
Yeah.
But like, you know, in somebody's living room,
no,
it's just like,
I think it's fair to say that
Brian's not giving these people his business, and that's okay.
I really disagree with it being self-masturbatory. Bridie and I right now are trying to decide what to do with Bigby's ashes, right? I mean, I love the idea. I love the idea of like taking some of his ashes and fucking working that into the ink of a future tattoo that I get. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, but it's
like,
it's not surprising that Bri feels this way. I mean, he's always kink shaming you, Jer, you know, and
that's
like,
right.
Like the broader kink community in general.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Bri,
yeah, I can't
like
stand
oddities.
It when anybody wants that's to right. do anything but have vanilla sex. It's crazy. Right. It blows my mind.
If it's not creativity, basic, if it's yeah, not basic, it's that. Not for Brian. So they go on to say that. So basically how it works is they get at the request of the family, these guys, the Sherwoods, contact the funeral home. The funeral home has to agree to do it. So it's not them that actually do the stripping process. It takes about 3 months, but in this case, for Mr. Wenzel, it was such a large piece that Kyle from the company actually flew himself to Saskatoon to oversee the entire procedure. And it was, they said, the biggest piece that they've ever done. So what was actually preserved, Mrs. Wenzel chose the pieces to be preserved. It was two full sleeve tattoos, including the top of Chris's hands, his throat and his chest piece, his full back piece, two thigh pieces and calf pieces. So we didn't see all of it. We just saw like one segment of that, but she basically got his entire body done, which is,
it would be crazy if it was all one piece. You know, like how satisfying it is when you peel a mandarin in one piece with no breaks, and you're like, fuck yeah, I did it. It would kind of be like that.
do you guys think at holiday gatherings they get together and like put his like drape his skin over them to like feel like they're him for a second?
Oh, no, wow. I don't think so. No,
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But maybe.
No, but maybe. Yeah, maybe. Oh, fuck.
Hey, yeah. Different strokes for different folks, you know.
Anyway, I thought it was really cool. And you know, I, of course, like I'm now, especially with this podcast and everything that we talk about on a regular basis, I'm always thrilled to see new and unique ways that people handle their death. And this definitely is like up there. This is one of the more interesting ones. So Basil, thank you for sending that to us. And if you ever come across something interesting like that and you want to share it with us, you can always email it to us, letters@sickboypodcast.com. So there you go.
Get it right, Jared, fuck.
All right. Well, the video for this is just so fucked, but I want to just chug right through, because we have made it this far and the folks at home listening can hear all of it so clearly and so crisply and so perfectly. But I am very excited to talk to you guys today about this week's segment of What the Health? Have you guys ever heard of the dancing plague of 1518?
No.
Vaguely familiar.
It was a July day in 1518, when Frau Trofia walked out into the streets of Strasbourg and began to dance. She was dancing to no music. She was dancing to no singing. She was just straight up dancing by herself in the middle of the streets. Okay. Onlookers apparently saw Frau Trofia and they saw her busting a move and thought, oh, that's really sweet, right? So people are like laughing, they're jovial, they're kind of clapping along. They thought they were really entertained by this like little jig. But it soon became clear that this was not a simple case of high spirits for Frau Trofia. She continued to dance and she continued to dance and she danced and she danced without rest for 6 straight days. Now this is fucking weird, right? Someone just like going out on the streets and dancing for 6 days straight, nonstop, like manically. Molly. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. She was the first ever person to drop some E.
She isolated the MDMA molecule.
Yeah. But this gets way weirder, okay? So the dancing started to spread, not unlike COVID. So within a week in Strasbourg, 34 people had joined her in the manic musicless dancing.
At the end of the month, there were 400 people manically dancing nonstop.
Well, wait. Like, because they were compelled to by something in their brain or something happening in their body, or like they were like, oh, this woman's dancing, I'm going to go over and dance too.
100% not that.
Demons were pretty common.
Yeah, yeah.
At that time, as well.
I will say this. I will say that the answer that you're going to get from why they were doing this is not very satisfying. However, let me continue here. Again, these people, they weren't dancing for the joy of it, right? They were sick with dancing, and at the height of the dancing mania, this is fucking wild. At the height of the mania, 15 residents were dying each day from strokes, heart attacks, and sheer exhaustion. 15 people a day dying from fucking dancing in the streets.
What's wrong with them? Stronger. Why couldn't they stay the blazes home?
Oh, fuck. I know. What's wrong with you? That's outrageous. Yeah. So of course, you know, like Ian Rankin, they're trying to figure out what to fucking say to us and do to make sure we stay home and that we don't spread this disease. The town officials there in Strasbourg were obviously freaking the fuck out. So the whole town is losing their minds in some sort of like waking nightmare. And in a desperate attempt to fight fire with fire, the town officials tried to cure the outburst by building a fucking massive stage in the town center and hiring musicians to play along to the dancing in hopes that it would speed up the mania and somehow burn them all out.
We were so dumb.
What do you think happened? What do you think happened when they did that, though?
More people just came and danced.
I don't know, man. It reminds me of like something that would happen in Zelda Majora's Mask, and like, you know, you get some type of prize at the end of it. Yeah.
Well, I think you're gonna like this. In 1999. A small township in New York called Bethel staged a recreation of what happened in Strasbourg. And here is that recreation right here.
No.
That was Woodstock 1999, Limp Bizkit. Thank you. There was no stage recreation. What happened
that song as a 12-year-old? I'm just going to say. Fuck. Okay.
What happened when they hired the bands and set up the massive stage is it went exactly as you think. It caused more dancing, more mania, and more people to die. So this went on for just over a full month of nonstop dancing, people dropping like flies. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, for no fucking reason, it just stopped.
No. Guys, that you know what the best part about that entire story is? Is that you know that with a number of like 400 people taking part in the dancing, you know that... Don't laugh. Just keep going with it. The video is okay. Just ignore it. The funniest part is that you know that somebody went over and took part in the dancing, not knowing that these people were actually having a manic episode, and we're like, for sure. Totally sweet.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, more.
And they had no idea they were taking part in a manic episode of I guess that kind of was the shared reality for those people, wasn't it?
For a lot of those people, it was. I mean, do you guys, pure speculation, but like, do you want to toss out there like a guess of what you think could have potentially caused this?
I'm going to say
epilepsy.
some type of shared psychosis phenomena.
Lauren, that was a very good guess. Epilepsy is one of the theories. Yeah. So, according to Wikipedia, numerous
hypotheses. They weren't dancing, they were shaking.
also,
hey,
I had an
epileptic dog, so I know everything about epilepsy.
Yeah, that boy loved dancing in the streets. this isn't the only time that dancing mania has become a thing. It's happened several times over history. And numerous hypotheses have proposed for the causes of dancing mania, and it remains unclear whether it was a real illness or a social phenomenon, which is fucking super trippy. But one of the most prominent theories is that victims suffered from ergot poisoning, which is also known as St. Anthony's fire in the Middle Ages. Ergot.
It's LSD, right?
Yeah, ergot is what LSD is derived from. So during floods and damp periods, ergots were able to grow and affect rye and other crops. Ergotism can cause hallucinations and convulsions, but it cannot account for the other strange behavior most commonly identified with dancing mania. So that's one theory, is they're thinking maybe they're all just hopped up on fucking like LSD from the earth. But other theories suggest that the symptoms were similar to encephalitis, epilepsy, and typhus. But as with ergotism, those conditions cannot account for all of the symptoms. But good fucking guess, Lo, on that theory. Numerous sources discuss how dancing mania and tarantism, I don't know what that means, may have simply been the result of stress and tension caused by natural disasters around the time, such as plagues and floods. I thought this was really interesting. So a couple of these historians describe dancing mania as a result of, quote, shared stress. People may have danced to relieve themselves of the stress and poverty of the day, and in doing so, attempted to become ecstatic and see visions. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine if that happened right now?
Now, because of COVID? I know, right? Yeah. If we all just started fucking dancing.
People were passing around COVID because they were dancing together. That's a recipe for a nightmare.
A recipe for a disaster. Yeah. So go.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I looked up tarantism, and it is a psychological illness characterized by an extreme impulse to dance. Prevalent in southern Italy from the 15th to 17th century and widely believed at the time to have been caused by the bite of a tarantula, hence the name.
Mamma mia. Huh. Very interesting.
Lasagna.
So that concludes this week's What the Health. But it's again one of those things where just, can you imagine just like if I had a time machine and could go back in time, this would be one of the things. This would be one of the things where I go, let's go back to that time when that shit happened. I just want to watch that for a month. Like, I want to see that play out. You know, find that super fucking fascinating. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'd be horrifying and super traumatic. But this is the life that I choose to live if I have a time machine. Mm. I want to try.
It's really crazy because if you imagine the people, like when I was thinking it, when you were telling the story, I was imagining everybody like jovially dancing and jiving together, but it would actually be like more like a horror movie where they're just dancing in the street and they're like, no, I can't stop. No.
I'm imagining the Russian guy that they always use on drunk people doing things, where like the guy that's like super high on Molly and his face is like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, just slam dancing. Yeah,
and he's sweating profusely, like he's just hip thrusting sweat.
Yeah,
that's why I threw that clip in there of Woodstock '99. Dude, did you see that crowd? It was just that, just smelly, dirty slam dancing.
Just smells. So many smells.
All right. Well, this is fun, regardless of the shit video quality. This has been really fun, and I'm glad we get to do this every week, even though we're in a goddamn lockdown and the planet has grinded to a halt and everything is on fire, but everything is fine. We're fine. We're fine.
We'll fix it in post.
I love all of you for tuning in every week. We really appreciate you. We really do. We really appreciate you. Whether you're a casual listener, whether you're an OG listener, whether you're a patron or whether you just stumbled across the podcast for the first time, we really appreciate all of you. And we love that you have trusted your time with us. We are bringing you these types of gatherings every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, a little bit of a different spice each day of the week there. And if you like what you listen to, please hit the follow button or subscribe button or leave a rating or review if you can. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, let us know in the comments what you thought, and hit the bell icon and subscribe and all that shit.
And if you have ever been listening to Sick Boy and like Brian just demonstrated, you threw a spontaneous dab, or if you've been listening to the podcast and it has caused you to inexplicably start howling with laughter and dancing in a sort of manic state, causing everybody around you to doubt your sanity. If that's ever happened to you specifically for this podcast, let us know. You can go to send us a message about it and tell us all about that experience at letters@sickboypodcast.com. And we would definitely read that shit on the show. So whether that's happened or you're just a really good fiction writer, let us know. letters@sickboypodcast.com. And if you want to be a guest, you can go to sickboypodcast.com/guest/contact. I just totally had a brain fart.
Try any contact. Of those. See what happens.
sickboypodcast.com/contact and fill out the guest
pornhub.com/pissplay. And that's where you can find all of the stuff you need to get on the show.
And that's our four person channel. We have a 4-person piss play channel there on Pornhub. And so do that. And do the Pornhub one.
Speaking of letting us know how it makes you feel, Lo, I think there's a pretty relevant letter this week.
Mm-hmm. We got a really great letter from Miranda, who wrote, "Hey guys, I am new to your podcast and usually listen while I'm at work. I just got to the Phimosis episode and had to turn it off. I was trying so hard not to bust a gut while working. It was hilarious. Thank you so much for making my day a little less boring. Miranda." Thank you for the kind words, Miranda, and for listening.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Miranda.
No props.
And while we're giving out thanks, why not give thanks to the lovely people who make this show happen? Thanks, Lauren. Thanks, Taylor. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, me. Thanks, Jeff Lonis, for being such an amazing manager. Thank you to Donovan, the Meerkat Morgan, for the amazing sound design. Thanks to the technical gods that made this audio such high quality and this video so delayed for me. And thanks so much to Jer for the editing, Take Part for the sound and music, Rich O'Coyne for the music. You guys are all beautiful, beautiful human beings.
We are going to play this week's episode out with Rich McNeil's What's Wrong With You? Thank you, Rich, for sending that our way. We always appreciate getting music from folks we know. So that really does mean a lot. And folks, that is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Lauren, and there's no lag at all.
Oh, God. I'm Jeremy, and this is Sick Boy.
Oh, fuck.
Over the weekend, there were 37 fines issued in the Halifax area. That's outrageous. I want to thank everyone for following protocols, but there are still groups of people who aren't. I have a serious question. What is wrong with you? That's outrageous.
What is wrong with you?
We need to stay in the blazes.
What is wrong with you? That's outrageous.
What is wrong with you?
What
is wrong with you?
That's outrageous.
What?
Stay in the blazes home.
What
is wrong with you? That's outrageous.
What is wrong with you? What
is wrong with you?
The only answer that I can come up with is that you don't care.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.